The First War of Independence, 1857-58. Objectives of Learning. The pupil assesses the nature of the First War of Independence, analyzes the political, economic, social, religious and military causes, enumerates the causes for the failure of the war, recognizes the effects, and understands the significance of the Queen's Proclamation. Introduction. The Indian soldiers in the service of the English East India Company revolted against their English military officers during 1857-58. English historians have written that the revolt was just a mutiny, but Indian historians say that it was the first war of Indian independence. It is also known as the Great Revolt of 1857. At that time, Lord Canning was the Governor General of India. The causes of the Great Revolt may be given under the following heads: political, economic, social, religious and military. Political causes. Political causes had their origin in Dalhousie's policy of annexations, particularly the application of the doctrine of lapse. His policy had created fear and uneasiness throughout India. The annexation of Hindu states like Satara and Nagpur were resented by the Hindus. The annexation of Awadh, whose ruler had been a friend and an ally of the English East India Company for about a century, was resented not only by the Muslims but also by the other rulers of India. The British government had ordered that on the death of the last Mughal emperor, his successor was to give up his ancestral palace. Again, certain unguarded remarks made by some high British officials created an impression that the government had made up its mind to put an end to the existence of the native states. Sir Charles Napier had stated thus: "Were I the Emperor of India for 12 years, no Indian prince should exist, the Nizam should be no more heard of, Nepal should be ours. By stopping the pension to Nana Sahib, the adopted son of Baji Rao II, the British made him their deadly enemy." Economic causes. The annexation of a native state not only deposed a king but also resulted in the growing unemployment of his hundreds of officials. Bentinck's resumption of rent-free lands brought a lot of money to the government but reduced many landowners to poverty. During the 5 years before the outbreak of the revolt, the Imam Commission in Bombay, appointed by Lord Dalhousie to investigate the title deeds of the landowners, confiscated some 20,000 estates in the Deccan. In Awadh, the Nawab's capital was occupied by the chief commissioner, his officials were dismissed and his army was disbanded. 60,000 professional soldiers lost their livelihood. All these converted Awadh into a hotbed of discontent and intrigue. The zamindari system, introduced by Lord Cornwallis, brought economic ruin to the Indian peasants. As a result of the Industrial Revolution in England, industrial goods like textiles were flooded in Indian markets. Indian industries perished. Several thousands of Indian artisans lost their jobs. Spread and suppression of revolt. The first sign of unrest appeared early in 1857 at Barakpur and Burhanpur in Bengal. That was quickly suppressed and the rebels were punished. But the sepoys broke out into open revolt at Meerut in May 1857, broke open the prison and released their imprisoned comrades. Then they galloped to Delhi and brought it under their control. The revolt then spread to Lucknow, Bareilly, Kanpur, Agra, Jhansi, Banaras, Central India, Bandelkhand and to other places. The Sikh leaders in the Punjab, Nizam of Hyderabad and Sindhia remained quiet. The Afghans, Sikhs and Gurkhas were loyal to the British. The Madras and the Bombay regiments did not join the revolt. The important leaders of the mutiny were Rani Lakshmibai of Jhansi, Tantiya Tope, Nana Saheb and Kanwa Singh. The mutiny chiefly centered around three cities, Kanpur, Delhi and Lucknow. When the revolt broke out at Kanpur, Nana Saheb, who was living there in comfort, joined the rebels and declared himself to be the Peshwa. The English there surrendered to the rebel forces. The English men, women and children were mercilessly massacred. Nana Saheb was finally defeated by Sir Colin Campbell and he fled to Nepal where he died after a few years. By the middle of November 1857, Kanpur was brought under control. Sir Archdale Wilson, Nicholson and Sir John Lawrence were the military officers who freed Delhi from the rebels. The Kashmir Gate was blown up in September and the city and the palace were captured after desperate fighting. The city was sacked by the British soldiers and the people were massacred mercilessly. Bahadur Shah II, the powerless Mughal emperor in Delhi, was tried for treason and exiled to Rangoon, where he died at the age of 87. With his death, ended the once mighty Mughal dynasty. His son surrendered to Lieutenant Hodson, a fierce cavalry officer, but they were cruelly shot down on the pretext that they were guilty of the murder of the English men, women and children. The recapture of Delhi and the imprisonment of Bahadur Shah broke the back of the mutiny. Lucknow was another center of rebellion. The Chief Commissioner Sir Henry Lawrence and Colonel Neil were killed. Begum Hazrat Mehl, the wife of Nawab of Awadh, had also joined the rebels. Finally, Lucknow was recaptured by Sir Colin Campbell in March 1858 with the help of a powerful Gurkha contingent under Jung Bahadur. In central India, the great rising was led by Rani Lakshmibai of Jhansi and Tantiya Tope, who came from Kanpur. Both fought very bravely. The Rani fought very bravely till she was killed in the battle in June 1858. Tantiya Tope escaped but was captured and put to death. Thus ended the episode of the Great Revolt. Lord Canning proclaimed peace throughout India. Though there was much demand for vengeance from the English, Canning was prudent enough to disregard it and arranged for the proper trial and punishment of only those who were really guilty. Causes for the failure of the revolt. Various causes led to the failure of the revolt of 1857. There was no unity among the rebels. The ideas of nationalism and unity had not yet developed. There was no unity of purpose among the rebels. The sepoys of Bengal wanted to revive the ancient glories of the Mughals, while Nana Saheb and Tantiya Tope tried to re-establish the Maratha power. Rani Lakshmibai fought to regain her lost state. Secondly, this rising was not widespread. It was localized to North and Central India. Even in the north, the Punjab, Sindh and Rajputana remained quiet. The British managed to get the loyalty of the Madras and Bombay regiments and the Sikhs, Afghans and the Gurkhas. The Gurkhas actually helped the British in suppressing the mutiny. The lack of resources both in men and money made the rebels give up the struggle on many occasions. The telegraphic system and postal communication helped the British to speed up their operations. Indian leaders lacked organization and planning. The rebel leaders were no match to the British generals. Lakshmibai, Tantia Tope and Nana Saheb were courageous but were not good generals. Finally, the English mastery of the sea enabled them to get timely help from England. Results of the revolt. Though the Great Revolt failed to achieve its aim, it certainly produced far-reaching results. It put an end to the company's rule in India. Administration of India was directly taken over by the British Crown. By a special act, both the Board of Control and the Board of Directors were abolished, and the office of the Secretary of State for India was created with an Indian Council of 15 members to assist the Governor General and Viceroy of India. The Indian Army was thoroughly reorganized. The policy of ruthless conquest in India was given up, and the Indian princes were given the assurance that their states would not be annexed. The right of adoption was also given to them. Full religious freedom was guaranteed to Indians. Indians were also given the assurance that high posts would be given to them without any discrimination. Queen's Proclamation, 1858. The Queen's Proclamation is described as the Magna Carta of the people. It confirmed the earlier treaties of the East India Company with the Indian princes, promised to pay due regard to the ancient rights and customs of India, and granted general pardon to all offenders except those who had directly taken part in the murder of the British subjects.